Lowe's knows how to turn big plans into real results. Whether it's new appliances or a home refresh, get started with 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more with a My Lowe's Rewards credit card, January 15th through the 30th. So you can invest in your upgrade now and pay over time. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payment required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Trauma Alert is the podcast that brings you current information in the field of trauma and acute care surgery. I'm your host, Trauma Bay. Today, we're reviewing the classes of hemorrhagic shock, the shock index, and ABC score. So in order to understand how much blood someone has lost, we first have to understand how much blood we're starting with. On average, an adult female has about 65 milliliters per kilo of total blood volume, which ends up being around 4.5 liters in a 70 kilogram woman. Similarly, an adult male has about 75 milliliters per kilogram of blood, which is closer to around 5.5 liters in a 75 kilogram man. There are some special populations to consider. For example, in pregnancy, the total circulating blood volume increases significantly, and children have a higher blood volume to weight ratio. An easy way to remember total blood volume in a typical healthy adult would be 5 liters. Imagining 5 liters then makes understanding the progression of hemorrhagic shock easier. So the first numbers to remember for classes of hemorrhagic shock are 15, 30, and 40, which represent percentages of blood loss. In class 1 shock, there is less than 15% of blood loss. In class 2 shock, there is 15 to 30%. In class 3, there is 30 to 40%. And in class 4, it is over 40% of blood loss. The next set of numbers to remember are 750, 1500, and 2000, which is the volume of blood loss in milliliters. In class 1 shock, there is less than 750 milliliters of blood loss. In class 2, it is 750 to 1500. Class 3 has 1500 to 2000. And class 4 has over 2 liters of blood loss. Now let's move on to vitals. In class 1 shock, heart rate can be normal to minimally elevated. In class 2 shock, there's typically a heart rate of 100 to 120. In class 3, you'd expect a heart rate of 120 to 140. And in class 4 hemorrhagic shock, heart rate would be over 140. And of course, these are general estimates and not definitive cutoffs. Also regarding vitals, remember the blood pressure does not typically decrease until class 3 shock. And in class 4 shock, there is profound hypotension. A common mistake is to think hemorrhagic shock, or any type of shock, is only present once the patient is hypotensive. But that's incorrect. If the blood pressure is normal and the patient is in shock, that's a compensated shock because the patient is compensating by increasing the systemic vascular resistance and heart rate. Then once the patient becomes hypotensive, they're decompensating. So that's decompensated shock. This is a later stage of shock, and it's important to differentiate the stages of shock because excellent trauma care includes recognizing and treating hemorrhagic shock as early as possible. So hypotension typically doesn't appear until the patient is already in class 3 hemorrhagic shock. A common vital sign change early on in hemorrhagic shock is pulse pressure, which is the difference between the systolic and diastolic pressures. In class 1 shock, there can be a normal to a decreased or narrowed pulse pressure, and pulse pressure will continue to decrease as the shock state progresses. The next sign is capillary refill time, which is less than 2 seconds in class 1 shock. In class 2 shock, it would be 2 to 3 seconds. In class 3 shock, it is 3 to 4 seconds. And in class 4 hemorrhagic shock, it would be over 5 seconds. So cap refill is similar to blood pressure in the sense that it may not become abnormal until class 3 hemorrhagic shock. As expected, respiratory rate will increase with shock progression as well. So in class 1 shock, you'd see a respiratory rate of 14 to 20. In class 2, respiratory rate is 20 to 30. In class 3, it's 30 to 40. And in class 4 shock, respiratory rate would be over 40. Another sign is anxiety. So in class 1 shock, you can see a slight anxiety. And in class 2, the patient would be mildly anxious. In class 3, there's more pronounced anxiety and or confusion. And in class 4 shock, the patient would be confused and or lethargic. So to summarize, in class 1 hemorrhagic shock, there is a blood loss of less than 15% of the total blood volume, which is less than 750 milliliters, a normal heart rate to slight tachycardia, a normal blood pressure, normal capillary refill time, a normal to narrowed pulse pressure, and a normal respiratory rate. In class 2 shock, the blood loss is 15 to 30% of the total blood volume, or 750 to 1500 milliliters, a heart rate of 100 to 120, a normal blood pressure, a 2 to 3 second or normal cap refill, a decreased pulse pressure, and a respiratory rate of 20 to 30. In class 3 shock, the blood loss is 30 to 40% of the total blood volume, or 1500 to 2000 milliliters. Heart rate is 120 to 140. There's hypotension now, so maybe a systolic around 100. 3 to 4 seconds of capillary refill, a significantly narrowed pulse pressure, and a respiratory rate of 30 to 40. In class 4 hemorrhagic shock, the blood loss is over 40% of the total blood volume, which is over 2 liters. Heart rate is typically over 140. There's significant hypotension, such as a systolic around 80. There's over 5 seconds for capillary refill, a significantly narrowed pulse pressure, and a respiratory rate over 40. Because blood pressure is mentioned, let's review the definition of hypotension in a trauma patient. For trauma patients age 20 to 49, hypotension is defined as a systolic blood pressure of 100 or less. For trauma patients age 50 to 69, a systolic blood pressure of 120 or less is hypotensive. And for trauma patients over age 70, a systolic blood pressure of 140 or less is considered hypotensive. In general, most would agree for the average trauma patient, which is usually a young adult, that a systolic blood pressure of less than 100 to 110 is considered hypotensive. Now let's talk about shock index. Shock index is a great way to incorporate both the heart rate and the blood pressure. Shock index is defined as the ratio of heart rate to systolic blood pressure, or heart rate divided by SBP. In general, the way to think about this for the trauma patient is if the heart rate is higher than the systolic blood pressure, that's not a great sign. So a shock index of 0.5 to 0.7 is considered normal. Shock index of 0.7 to 1 is mild shock, which could be a heart rate of 100 and a systolic blood pressure of 110, for example. That would give you a shock index of 0.9. A shock index of 1 to 1.4 is moderate shock, which, for example, could be a heart rate of 120 and a systolic blood pressure of 100, and that would be a shock index of 1.2. A shock index of 1.4 or higher is severe shock, which, for example, would be like a heart rate of 140 and a systolic blood pressure of 80, and that would give you a shock index of 1.8. As expected, there's a direct relationship between shock index and volume of blood transfusion, need for emergent surgery, ICU length of stay, hospital length of stay, and mortality. And shock index is a better prognostic tool than blood pressure or heart rate alone. The modified shock index is heart rate divided by MAP. Age shock index is age multiplied by the shock index, which is more indicative of mortality in geriatric patients. There's also a pediatric adjusted shock index, which has different cutoffs for each age group. And reverse shock index is another way to use the heart rate and systolic blood pressure. Reverse shock index is the SBP divided by the heart rate, so just the opposite of shock index. So if the blood pressure is less than the heart rate, the reverse shock index is less than one, and that's a bad sign. Reverse shock index has a little more quick and simple math than shock index, but there's not severity levels. It's just less than one or not, so it's obviously less sophisticated. Okay, the ABC score. This is the assessment of blood consumption score. This is a score that can help predict when trauma patients will need massive transfusion, which is 10 or more units of blood during the first 24 hours of resuscitation. The ABC score has four components, and each yes gets 1 point. They are penetrating mechanism, systolic blood pressure less than or equal to 90 in the ER, heart rate greater than or equal to 120 in the ER, and positive FAST. A score of 0 to 1 point is unlikely to require MTP, their massive transfusion protocol. A score of 2 to 4 means the patient is likely to require MTP. The ABC score was developed to help remind us to activate MTP quicker, since delays in activation are associated with increased mortality. There was a retrospective cohort study of 645 patients that compared ABC score and shock index in predicting the need for massive transfusion, and a shock index greater than or equal to 1 had a higher sensitivity than an ABC score greater than or equal to 2. An ABC score had a higher specificity than shock index, and based on the area under the receiver operating characteristic curve analysis, shock index was a stronger predictor than ABC score. Okay, that concludes today's episode about classes of hemorrhagic shock, the shock index, and ABC score.